This is Twit.
Brandon Belinsky is the product manager for YouTube Music at Google. Hello, Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you all? Ooh, I got my own Chiron. That's pretty cool.
That's right.
No, hey, we go all we out. Roll out. We roll out the red carpet, definitely. That's
right. They spare no expense.
That's right. Awesome. We have the means, so we do it because we might as well. Brandon, it's great to get you on. You know, fans of the show will attest to the fact that we talk about the Google Play Music and YouTube Music transition quite a bit on this show, just because it's been evolving over the past couple of years. Today, of course, is a pretty big day when it comes to this whole transition. Google announced this morning kind of a migration path for people's uploaded libraries. I know I have tons of music in the cloud and Google Play Music servers. I've been wondering when it's going to transition over, and today is kind of the starting of that migration over to YouTube Music. So I mean, you're gracious to join us. We really appreciate you hopping on. We've got a lot of questions and very curious to kind of walk through some of this transition with you and see where we were and where we are now and kind of follow it that way. So thank you for joining us, Brandon. So why don't we start here? Because, I mean, you know, these music services have a storied history. At this point, Google Play Music has been around since 2011. YouTube Music launched, I think it launched back in 2015, and then it had kind of like a revitalization or a change in direction in 2018. When YouTube Music first launched back in 2015, was the idea to integrate these services ultimately? Was it that they were going to live side by side? Like, was what we're experiencing now the plan all along, or did it just kind of emerge that way over time?
Yeah, so to answer this, let's go back in time a little bit. So I joined the Play Music team in 2011. And so I helped launch the first version, which was Music Beta by Google, actually repping my original Music Beta by Google shirt here. And so that was just an upload-only solution. So when YouTube Music launched in 2015, you know, really there were just two music solutions at Google. You know, music's crucial. It's always been crucial and been in the lifeblood of YouTube. And so, you know, they the YouTube side of the house decided that it would, you know, it would be prudent to have a music service there on the YouTube side. Google Play Music was kind of started as the Android music solution. You know, we were really built to be the place to you stick your music in the cloud locker, and then you can access it even if you get new Android devices without having to, you know, plug in your phone and transfer. So, you know, at that time, there wasn't a plan to merge the two apps together. It was important to both ecosystems, the Android and the YouTube ecosystem. And so they were kind of running in parallel starting in 2015.
Cool.
So right. And also loyal Google Play Music user here. So if they're running in parallel, then, and, you know, and going on nearly 10 years of Google Play Music, why decide to do this transition or this merge? You know, was there something within Google Play Music that wasn't working, or was it just rather the YouTube Music brand something Google wanted to invest in more? Basically, how did we get to here at this moment?
Yeah, so back in 2017 was when I kind of found out that at the executive level at Google, there was the decision made to consolidate down to one music experience. You know, it was often the question like, okay, well, we cross auth, right? You sign up for one, you get to use both, but why should you use both? Why do we have two separate teams? We actually, for a time, had two separate partner relation teams that were both talking to the record labels. And so there were two different sets of contracts. You know, it was just a little bit complicated. So we decided to merge the teams together. And then we spent a lot of time deciding, you know, how do we go forward, right? The teams are now one. YouTube and the YouTube Music and Google Play Music teams were combined. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time deciding how to go forward with this, considering we wanted to eventually get to the point where there was only one music app. And really, it came down to the fact that, you know, YouTube is huge. It's the biggest music service in the world. It's crucial for our partners and the partner ecosystem. You know, new artists are getting broken on YouTube all the time. It's a great promotional platform where people are releasing their new music videos to promote an album. And so, you know, it all came down to the DNA of music really being in YouTube. And so we decided that, you know, that was going to be the path forward. And so then the last 3 years have really been, how do we get YouTube Music to be a premium audio service? And how do we build a great, easy migration tool so that the GPM users, you know, can seamlessly transfer and find their new home on YouTube Music? And that's what we were so excited to announce today, is that we really do feel like we're ready. Like, you know, YouTube Music is a great premium audio service. It's ready for Play Music users to come over. And, you know, we launched a one tap to transfer experience that moves all your content over. So it's not just your uploads, it's anything you've added, any of your playlists you've created, your taste profile, et cetera. With a single tap, you can migrate over.
So I feel like this is a really good time for us to segue a little into some of the questions we had around this changeover to YouTube. YouTube is such a strong brand on its own. And so now to kind of add music to it, it's a bit of a different track than maybe what folks were experiencing with Google Play Music. So this is kind of a two-part question too. How does YouTube Music handle that recommendation engine and discovery when it comes to like new artists or maybe the library you're already listening to? And how do we know if it's is it distinguished from the algorithm that exists already for YouTube viewers?
Yeah, so we're doing a few things. One is when you migrate over, we bring over your Google Play Music history and taste profile. So if you haven't used YouTube Music, your YouTube Music experience post-migration will be heavily influenced by Google Play Music. It'll look, you know, kind of like you never left, right? So I did a migration yesterday for some demos, and the first thing that came over is it knows I like indie rock and hip hop, and so it's recommending me LCD Sound System right off the bat. But it's also taking in, you know, signals we have from YouTube, because, you know, everyone uses YouTube, right? It's just like, you know, you may have a different music service you use, but you also use YouTube on top of that. Maybe it's to watch videos, live performances, mm-hmm. et cetera. And so we do use some of your YouTube history as well. So, you know, I love the NPR Tiny Desk concert series. And so it knows that I watched, you know, the Taylor Swift performance. It knows that I watched the Anderson .Paak performance, and it uses those as recommendations as well. So we're kind of seamlessly blending these recommendations to give you the right music for what you need.
It's that's really funny, because that actually kind of horrifies me a little bit, because, you know, I've been so I've got a Google Home in the kitchen, the one with the screen, and sure. We use that as our primary music device. And every time, like, I play a song by The Cure, the second song that plays is a Smiths song, because it knows how much I love Britpop and how much I love the Smiths. And so that's really awesome. But I've got two little babies at home, and and YouTube has been a lifesaver, and I'm really, really fearful that a song by Mr. Rogers will come up immediately after Superchunk or something like that. So
definitely my concern too, is Marie handles a lot of the toddler listening, and she also has her own distinct music playlist, and everything that goes through YouTube, how is that going to affect, or are we going to get some better tools to help us, you know, tech parents start diversifying some of those algorithms?
A couple good things that we have in place here. We know the device that plays are coming from. And so obviously shared devices like a Nest Home Hub or something like that, we're able to kind of understand better that those plays may be shared, you know, even if you're not using voice detection to understand who's doing the request, or, you know, in case I have a 3-year-old, so I'm often asking for things. So that wouldn't help anyway, right? She doesn't have an account. But we also do a lot of work to kind of isolate children's music from recommendation set. So my house right now, we've been watching Coco, twice a day for like 14 days and listening
to
that soundtrack
in
English.
It's so good, though. It's a great movie.
It's a great movie, but like, as an English-only speaker, I should not have the entire Spanish soundtrack memorized. But I do. And so, you know, what's great is when you come into the app, like, most of the recommendations are, you know, they're like device specific. So things I listen to on my Android phone, you know, we make sure we understand that. We also understand context too. So things I listen to, if you turn on location at home, you know, have slightly different weights than things I would listen to on the commute or at the gym or whatever. So again, this is a problem across the board, I think, for just YouTube in general, right? Yeah, if your family's co-watching a bunch of different types of content, how do you separate that out? We are looking into additional tools for that, but, you know, we do manage this pretty well, especially on the children's music front.